That's with my colleague and friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. Gaza. Again and again and again, Jeff, for weeks now, I'm told sincerely by people I respect who are back from the region, the Gaza op is on. Rafah will be cleaned out. Again and again and again. Yes, I say yes, however. And then there is the Hezbollah threat to the north. Again and again and again, I'm told we will deal with that, although the last time I heard it was 50-50 whether we're going to launch on Baqa, on Lebanon. But Rafah is the one that's the center of all the soft power conversations right now by the State Department, by the President of the United States, by our allies. The understanding is there are up to a million people in the Rafah area that will be evacuated before there is an operation. Do you believe it, Jeff?
Well, I believe that's the desire, particularly by the United States, as you look at mounting casualties, now over 34,000 Palestinians having been killed and over 75,000 having been injured, to move in a very deliberate, heavy operation into Rafah with 1.3 million people, as you suggest, crammed into this small area, would result in enormous civilian casualties. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. You could double the number of Palestinian civilians killed and injured in that single operation. And that's certainly the United States and Mr. Biden has been very outspoken to avoid and has talked openly and frequently, as have other world leaders, trying to advise Mr. Netanyahu not to pursue this mission. That being said, he has continued to talk about it, has said so even the last couple of days, as you suggest, we're going into Rafah. But what I don't see is, first of all, the large preparation required to hopefully, before the attack begins, allow a significant number of the refugees in the city, out of the city, as we did around Fallujah and Mosul in Iraq. Now, those were smaller operations of only a couple hundred thousand people, but still the same kind of idea to reduce the possibility of civilian casualties. To do that demands enormous logistics in terms of how do we house that million people, if that's the number? How do we feed them, provide them water, basic medical supplies? And each leader in the United States over the last few days, whether it was Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, spokesman at the State Department, or Secretary of Defense Austin, have all said, and I'm almost quoting here, we see no preparation to affect that treatment of a humanitarian effort in advance of an invasion of Rafah. And secondly, what I've been able to gather, I have not seen a concentration, a large-scale concentration, of Israeli ground forces to conduct that type of an attack. We have seen them still dealing with elements of Hamas emerging throughout the Gaza Strip, probably using the tunnels. But we haven't seen a concentration of, you know, a division, division plus, et cetera, in the preparation for that type of attack. And you're right, John. At the same time, a lot of attack and some positioning of forces in the north against Hezbollah. And then furthermore, don't forget, the Israeli military forces are heavily devoted on the West Bank, where there's been a large-scale unrest. Over 500 Palestinians have been killed, 8,000 detained since the war began in October.
The puzzle here is we're not supposed to know. It's fog of war. But everything you just illustrated suggests that there is no operation imminent, and that these negotiations about hostages, which are taking place in Cairo, we're told, maybe other capitals, Qatar's Doha, perhaps Jerusalem, back channel, that those are critical to the Israeli government, and they should be. Hostages, the ones who remain alive and mobile, maybe 20, maybe 30, I've heard different numbers. What if there not only is no operation for Rafah, what if the so-called four battalions or eight battalions left, the number moves around, have already left, Jeff, through tunnels into Sinai? What if there's nobody down there? This is what it would look like if the Israelis knew that.
Yeah, it could be, John. Certainly, it seems to me what's going on is, you know, there's negotiations that occur very privately and are very sensitive. And that's certainly the conversations involving the United States, Qatar, Egypt, representatives of Hamas, and then separately representatives of Israel. But then there's the public part of that negotiation, which occurs outside. And Mr. Netanyahu giving speeches about we're going to invade Rafah is to some degree, I think, to affect world public opinion, but also Hamas, that this may be your best chance for an agreement. You need to take this now. In a similar fashion, of course, the Secretary of State is where? Mr. Blinken is in Israel today. I think it's his seventh trip since this war began. Prior to this, he was in Saudi Arabia meeting with the Saudis, meeting with other Middle Eastern leaders, and repeatedly saying throughout his travels, this is the most generous offer that the Israelis have made so far. The only thing between us and a ceasefire right now is Hamas. So building external pressure on Hamas to come to an agreement based on what has been suggested while you've got the private conversations going on. So that's part of this. There is also the possibility, as you suggest, of an imminent or already passed departure by Hamas. That could be possible. Certainly the Israelis, if they were going to try to conclude this war, I have said privately, if they don't destroy Hamas, they need clear evidence that Hamas has left the Gaza Strip. And they might then redefine their definition of destroying Hamas to being destroying substantially its military capabilities, right, and eliminating its presence from the Gaza Strip.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, critical for what's ahead in Ukraine, trading big weapons. However, Gaza, a fog of war. CBS News, Dickinson College visiting professor, CEO, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.